XL pipeline. It would cross six provinces and skirt hundreds of communities and several major metropolitan areas, including Ottawa, Quebec, and Winnipeg, on its way to refineries and export terminals in Quebec and New Brunswick. That would expedite the export of the tar sands oil to Europe, where just this week the European Union lifted its designation of the oil as, quote, dirty, end quote, opening the door for more imported Canadian oil. While Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper has called the project, quote, extremely exciting, end quote, environmentalists take a different view. Last weekend, thousands of people marched to Cacouna, Quebec, in opposition to the pipeline, reported nonprofit community social action group the Council of Canadians. Specifically, they were protesting TransCanada's plans to build a pipeline terminal of the eastern shore of the St. Lawrence River to load supertankers with tar sands oil. It would be located in a habitat essential to the endangered beluga whale. A few weeks ago, a coalition of environmental groups won a temporary injunction to stop TransCanada from doing exploratory drilling for that terminal within the beluga habitat, but that drilling will be resuming shortly. Although TransCanadian downplays the dangers, saying it is merely converting an old natural gas pipeline to carry sands bitumen, the Council of Canadians says that that in itself is worrisome, with aging pipeline crossing almost 1,000 Canadian waterways. Kansas.com reports, three-quarters of the way through 2014, Kansas's wind energy industry is shifting from ice cold to red hot. The state has nearly 3,000 megawatts of wind energy capacity and 25 wind farms, placing it among the top states in the nation. This year started slowly, with months going by with little activity, but at this point there are four wind farms under construction with about 475 megawatts of capacity. They are Slate Creek Wind Farm in Sumner County, Waverly Wind Farm in Coffee County, Alexander Wind Farm in Rush County, and Marshall Wind Farm in Marshall County. In the development stage are a number of larger wind farm projects that may be built in 2015 or 2016. The agency in charge of coordinating regional power consumption, the Southwest Power Pool, lists applications for wind farms in Kansas seeking to get on the electrical grid. Excluding the four wind farms already under construction, the six wind farms under development and approved for construction total 1,800 megawatts. One of those is Western Plains, a wind farm near Spearville in Ford County, developed by Infinity Wind Power of Santa Barbara, California. Infinity CEO Matt Riley says developers must wait for the utilities to issue the power purchase agreements. The wind farm will be built only if an agreement is issued and a developer wins the contract to supply the power. Although the utilities like the subsidy, it's really not critical to whether they buy the wind-generated energy, he says. What makes wind power so compelling is that, at the moment, it is close to the lowest price electricity, and that price can be locked in for 20 years by contract. FilmsForAction.org reports, as a fitting commemoration of Indigenous Peoples Day, which was last Monday, the Lawrence City Commission will approve an agreement with the Delaware Tribe by which the tribe will use their 90 acres of tribal land in North Lawrence in ways that will preserve the prime farmland soils on the site. This is the same land that 8 years ago farmland activists prevented the building of trucking warehouses on it. This land is traditional tribal lands of the Delaware, the last location where Chief Sarkowski lived before the U.S. moved them to Oklahoma to be subsumed by the Cherokee. Lawrence and Douglas County are honored that the tribe is moving back to our community because they will be using the land sustainably as Indigenous people have done historically. They are planning several uses, such as a cultural education center with tribal headquarters and classes in Native food production and Native culture, a food hub, agriculture production of Indigenous crops and medicinal plants, a pollinator preserve and botanical garden, high tunnel growing, a farm-to-plate restaurant, and a holistic health center. At this time, I'd like to turn the mic over to Mr. Richard Mabian.
Thank you, Aaron. Good evening, everyone. Here we go again. We're here to catch up on what's happening in the Kansas City metropolitan area that has to do with the environment and you. Before I get started, I really want to break out in song and dance and start singing, "Take me out to the ball game." But since there's laws about people singing like me, I will just let it go at that and say, what about them Royals? My goodness, my goodness. I mean, and the Chiefs, people. I mean, the Kansas City sports scene is really, maybe that, soccer team over there in Wyandotte County fired everybody up since I'm a Wyandotte County person. And this then made the rest of our sport franchise figure they'd either get up or get off the pot. But I know one thing, they playing some fantastic sports going on around here in the city. Good evening. Isn't it been the weather beautiful? I mean, 2 weeks ago, I thought we were on our way in the winter. Thought we had had a short fall. But it seems that things turned around, and we're back into some great weather out there. Let's hope it holds out during this World Series. Before I get started with my show tonight, I want to be able to say that from time to time, I keep running into people who listen to this show, and it always amazes me to be at times when I'm not expecting that to happen, and someone will either hear my name or see me or hear me talking and come over and go, you know, I listen to your show. So even though we may not have you calling in, I'm starting to get an idea of how many of you out there listening. I really appreciate it. Hang in there with us. Keep doing it. Help us out when we have our fund drives. That's another thing I want to talk about. So just keep that in mind. But I'm glad to know that y'all are listening. This evening, we got a couple of people here, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves, and somehow I'm going to blend these two people in together. The first one here is one of our old visitors, but I'll have her introduce herself and tell her what she does.
Thank you, Richard. My name is Leticia Ducaney, and I'm a community organizer in the Argentine and Turner area, working with Global Community Monitor, and I've been getting a group of committee together to helping to monitor our air pollution that's going on due to the diesel pollution.
Okay. And the other person I have here is a person who recruited me since the last time I was on air to work with him. He works with a group I'll let him tell you what they are. But I have him here tonight for the second part of the show, but I'm going to have him sit in here with Leticia and I while we talk about an update on this monitoring that's going on in the diesel emission in the greater Kansas City area. But Thomas, will you introduce yourself and kind of give yourself a title over there?
Good evening, Richard. Thank you very much. My name is Thomas Gordon, and I am a member of the Silver-Haired Legislators in Kansas. It's a group that is an advocacy for seniors over the age of 60, and we advocate for anything that's going to increase the quality of life, and we do that through lobbying and working with the representatives and the senators for the state of Kansas.
Okay.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Richard.
I'm glad you're here. Now, I'll have more for him later, so you'll know why he's here and what we're doing. First part of the show, though, we're going to get into here with Leticia. This monitoring program that's going on, to bring everybody up to date, Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad was able to strike up some type of agreement with the inland ports, with the incoming containers from China and various foreign places that had been coming into L.A. And he worked out an agreement to reduce some of the pollution that's caused at the ports in L.A., which is horrible, with trucks and ships and all of that stuff going on around that port. And what he did was create a intermodal in Edgerton, Kansas. And the cargo coming in from China will not be offloaded to in L.A. It will be offloaded onto his trains. And then his trains will bring that cargo to Edgerton, Kansas, which is right outside of Olathe. And then trucks from the four corners of the planet or the nation will descend on Kansas City to pick up those containers and take those goods back to the areas that they come from. Now, the reason that this is an issue, the truck traffic in the Kansas City metropolitan area is getting ready to increase to over 20,000 trucks a day. And the reason we got flag that this company that Letitia works for made contact with me, actually, to see what was it we could do to get them involved here in the Kansas City metropolitan area, and that's how they ended up meeting Letitia. Their concern is that diesel fuel has been classified as a carcinogen and creates a tremendous amount of problems for people audiovascularly. So that's how Letitia came to me. And they got started testing. When did you get started testing out there, Letitia?
We started November of last year.
November of last year. And then in July of this year, some preliminary results had been found from the testing. And the scientist who her company works with sent those results to us. And Letitia and I presented them to livable neighborhoods in Kansas City, Kansas. Letitia, you want to go through those results again?
Sure, Richard. Thank you. So, on July 12th, we had a homeowner meeting where we met with just the residents that allowed us to fit the monitor in their residence. And then on the 15th, we held more of a town hall meeting where over 50 people came to learn more about the results. And there were about 15 residents that we monitored for the diesel, and three of those were really high that we tested for diesel pollution. Those measurements were high levels enough to be associated with an excess risk of cardiovascular and respiratory hospitalizations on the day of exposures. And we also, just to note, also levels were high enough to be associated with an excess risk of cardiovascular mortality or 2 to 3 days after the day of exposure.
Okay, now you can all understand when I heard those figures being given, my red flags went up. I want to take a break for just a second. We had a person that we had come in. We wanted to be here when we started to make a brief announcement, and he just got here. So I want him to be able to make this announcement because he has to leave. So we're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with you in just a second.
This retired federal employee, Bill Claus, encouraging all my federal employee friends to please consider supporting KKFI during this year's combined federal campaign. That's CFC code 21994. Just a few dollars a week on payroll deductions won't mean much to you, but it'll mean big bucks to us at KKFI. So please consider supporting KKFI. That's agency code 21994.
This week,
they often arrived at night. They would break into the houses. They would have flashlights. They would hold down the victims, and they would cooperate to shear off the beards of the men and the hair of the women.
It's the story of a renegade Amish group known as the Bergholz Barbers. I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon.
Thank you. I appreciate Letitia and them and giving me this opportunity to have James Turner. James is the president of the Kansas City, Missouri Sierra Club, and he's going to make an announcement about a meeting that's going to be going on here in Kansas City, Missouri that we wanted all of you to know about. Okay, James, take it away.
Thank you, Richard. We all know that carbon dioxide is a big problem heating up our planet, not to mention the pollution that causes asthma and so on from coal burning. So Missouri Sierra Club has been very active in trying to reduce fossil fuels. So recently I received a letter from Governor Nixon appointing me to a steering committee for a comprehensive energy plan for the state of Missouri. The aim is to produce a plan by the end of next May that will help us to comply with the clean power regulations and also to just improve our economy and so on. So there are 7 meetings like this, and there's one here in Kansas City on Wednesday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. at the Metropolitan Community College on the Penn Valley campus, the Science and Technology Center, room PVST 101. So it starts at 1 p.m. and it'll go on all afternoon with presentations and discussions. For the public, public is invited to attend, and there will be a time for public comments at 4 p.m. there. And at every one of these meetings so far, we've had good comments from the public supporting solar and wind and energy efficiency. And I think it's making a good impression on this committee that will be drawing up this energy plan. So we are hopeful that here in Kansas City there will also be good support from the progressive community for a good energy plan. If you have any questions about this, I'm told that there will be information about it on KKFI's Facebook page. And so I appreciate the chance to tell you about this.
Thank you, James. James, I want you to know that we want you to come back and spend some time with us on the show. I'll talk to you about it because there's a lot going on in Missouri, and I think we need to start having you in here on a regular basis to share some of what's happening. When I got that report, I got that notice, I thought it would be worthwhile for us to make that announcement over our air. If any of you are available to be able to make that meeting on the 22nd, please do. I have a couple other meetings going on. I'm going to try to get there myself. We have to show that we care about what's happening in the clean air and the climate and the whole bit. So, like you said, if you need any more information, we're going to put it on our Facebook page, and you'll be able to go in there and get the information from there. All right, gang, we're gonna get back into this now. First of all, I'm gonna throw out the number here at the station, 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. I'm going to keep bringing Letitia on to give these updates until I start feeling that the general population is starting to take this diesel emission seriously. Because as it is right now, I really don't think we are. I mean, I just really don't think we are, because we're not hearing it anywhere but here. When she read those two levels that they received from their report, saying that the levels were high enough that certain people with certain kinds of condition, and those people are your elderly and your youth, can on contact, just contact, smelling them, taking it in, could in one particular case end up in the hospital the same day, and the other case could end up dead within a day. That's serious drama. That's serious drama. And the American public, I mean, we need to be the ones that step up to the plate. Because no one's telling you this. I doubt very seriously if you're hearing this anywhere besides sitting at this table, because the only people in this town that are monitoring is Leticia and her people. So that's why we wanted her back on here again. Now let's talk about what you mentioned, that you had the meetings with the neighbors. You mentioned that you were forming a committee, right? Okay, and this committee is designed to do what?
Right, we formed what's called a Good Neighbor Committee, and what our goal is to meet with BNSF. That's what we're working on right now, to schedule something with them. And it's just more of an introductory meeting first to find out what their practices are and to see how they can help us out. So we're going to talk more on how we can work together so that our air can be much cleaner in our neighborhood.
That was one of the reasons that I chose to support this organization that she works for, is because they believe in starting from the community out. And what they do is create these good neighbor committees. So the neighbors aren't, you know, if you deal with some environmental groups, I mean, they down there with pick and hammers trying to tear down your walls and your fences and trying to, to get immediate action. That's not what we're trying to do here. The neighbors are trying to say, hey, we got a problem, and we want to see how can we get together to work this problem out. I'm there because of my work with neighborhood groups. And so I'm somewhat a voice for those neighborhood groups. And that is important, that they are being kept aware. We didn't know that BNSF had got grants to rehab the engines that are sitting in the yard, because they knew this was coming. They fully aware of the fact that this issue is coming, so they're trying to decent up the act, clean up the act. That's some of the things we don't talk about, Leticia, and I do want to get back to what you're doing now, but some of the things that we don't talk about is what are other places doing. And when I say other places, I'm talking about Oakland, L.A., Houston, the different places where they have the port to work with the neighborhood folks. What are some of the things they're doing? Do you know?
Well, some are doing health study surveys. They're checking around to see, you know, if what the CDC reported is actually updated. And I remember last year when this was all new to me and hearing it for the first time, one of the cities said that they, you know, did a door-to-door survey, and they realized that it didn't match up. And the reason was because the income was so low that they didn't even have insurance, so they weren't going to the doctors.
Okay.
And so they weren't getting any care. And with that, they were able to provide a mobile van, sort of like to come and treat the children and the people in the neighborhood.
So when this intermodal moved from Argentine Turner District, and no one was even paying any attention to it there. We're doing the testing. The testing that Leticia is doing is in the Argentine Turner District. Those figures that she read was what's there now from the results of that intermodal being there. Plus the rail yard is right there in Argentine and Turner too, so it would be obvious that that needed to be tested. Some other things they're doing is trying to figure out ways to keep those trucks from idling when they're in the yard. You know, trucks, especially with refrigeration, or have to idle the whole time they have a load that they need that refrigeration working. So they're installing electric refrigerators so they can plug into an electric outlet. Doesn't do very much for the use of energy, especially coming from your coal-fired plants and this increased amount of carbon that's being released in the air. But it cuts down on that diesel emission while those trucks are sitting there in the yard idling. They also are trying to go in to have electric equipment to work with on the dock. They are going electric cranes that offload the carriers. So the industry is aware of the fact that this is a growing problem. The only people missing in the equation is the American public. Now, no one probably gives that much care about what's happening down in the city with Argentine and Turner, except those of us who live in them areas. But I guarantee you, folks, when this emission problem starts to become a factor in Johnson County, because see, that's where the intermodal is, it's going to make a big difference. Here we got someone online. Caller, you're on the air. Will you give me your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please?
Yeah, this is Maurice from Midtown, Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes, I get some feedback on. You got a radio on?
Yeah, turn it down there. Okay, it's off.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
How you doing, Maurice?
Hey, how you doing, man? Congratulations on everything. I'm sorry I haven't been getting to you. But
well, that's all right. I know you're busy. You got a meeting coming up on the 23rd. I'm going to try to make it. I got it on my calendar.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
All right, come on. Bring it to us, and then let me answer you. Get an answer.
No, well, I just want to congratulate you, and it's a good show. I've been listening, and very important subject. And you're giving out some good information. I hope that the people, like you say, the only thing missing is the public.
It's the public. Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I tell you what, buddy, when I come out to your show, maybe I'll have you on again. We can get an update on what's happening with you, too, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. We'll stay. Keep hanging in there, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
All right. You know, Maurice was a whistleblower for the problems out at the old Bendix plant with the when they was out there with the nuclear weapons parts, and he's fighting that battle. Sometimes it seemed like on his own. Just hang in there, buddy, because you do have people paying attention to you. All right. So we you're doing something now, Leticia, and I want to get to that. Some different kind of testing, right? You're testing a different way. Is that what it is?
Well, before we were testing the diesel and the PM2.5, and we talked about that last time.
Explain that 2.5.
So the 2.5, and we actually, there are some monitors out there that are 2.5-3 miles away, and they show that there was no problem in the area.
Right.
Well, when we were measuring that as well, the levels weren't high either. But when we're measuring diesel, which is ultrafine particles, that's where we're finding a problem, and the EPA, they're not, or KDHE, they're not monitoring that.
Right.
So that's why we're doing our own monitoring with the diesel, which is the ultrafine particles. That's really tiny particles that.
And that, if I'm not mistaken, that comes, that's a 1.0, right?
It's
1.0. See, what's happening here again, folks, you know, it's about knowledge of understanding what's going on in our environment. The 2.5 figure that she's talking about is what normal regulatory agencies are monitoring for. Okay, 2.5 is not damaging. It's not the ultra fine particles that diesel emission creates. Diesel emission creates an ultrafine particle that is 1.0 that can be breathed in as you breathe. I mean, when you inhale it, it goes into your bloodstream. There's no stopping it. There's no stopping it. That's what makes it so damaging. But when your regulatory agencies, EPA, KDHE, or whoever else is monitoring the air, stops their monitors at 2.5, they don't get that 1.0 rating. So one of the things that I know that we're going to try to do, and I say we because I'm heavily involved in this operation also, is to get our regulatory agencies to start seeking the 1.0 rating when they're doing their testing. To have them start working on that one. So now you're doing something with in and out air. What is that?
So now what we're monitoring is upwind and downwind to the railroad, because we were monitoring mainly from the south, and we were only catching, for example, in the summer, we weren't getting many north winds, and so a lot of the readings that we did weren't coming directly from there. So we didn't really get good readings on those days, but some days we actually did get high readings. Because it kind of swirled around and had a bull effect. So now we're going to measure from both sides of the tracks.
Both sides. You know, I'm sitting there listening to Leticia, and I want to be able to say this. You know, they have a term called citizen scientists. Leticia, I've seen her go from just visiting a meeting to taking this position to being sitting here now talking like a little scientist. If you didn't know any better, you would think she'd been to college and got her degree, and she's out here talking like these scientists that we highbrow with and all these different environmental organizations. But I'm sitting here looking at her going, this is exactly what we as the American public need. We all need to be as astute about this subject as she is. And that's exactly what makes it so important for her to continuously come back. You all get used to her. To continuously come back and talk to us, because that lets you know how easy it is for us to become those kinds of people. Okay? Well, I think we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to get set for this second part, all right?
A special extended interview with economic professor Richard Wolff on how to reconcile mixed messages
on the health of the economy on Counterspin, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. And Richard Wolff speaks to the market as a paragon of virtue on Alternative Radio, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Wildcat to Vegetarian, the presidency of José Pepe Mujica of Uruguay, the poorest president in the world, on Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
Okay, I'm back. Now we're getting ready for this third part of the show. I think Leticia wanted to say one thing before I go into it. It had to do with the correct pronunciation of that 1.0.
Oh, yeah. So when you were talking about it's when EC levels are above 1 microgram per cubic meter, then one can conclude that a location is an area impacted by diesel emissions.
Thank you, ma'am. So she wants to make sure we have it right. Okay, now, this third part is totally unscripted. Well, nothing I do is scripted as far as that's concerned. But Mike, I believe it was, somehow met this young lady or heard of this young lady and heard about an event that was going on up there in Topeka called Turnaround Tuesday. And it just so happens that tomorrow this group Turnaround Tuesday is going to be doing something that involves greening, you know. And so that, again, sends my flags up because that's my life, the greening of America. So first of all, we're going to have this young lady introduce herself. Mary, will you introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you are doing?
This is Mary Akerstrom, and I'm a local Topeka activist. I met Mike at the Green Party conference earlier this year.
Okay.
And Turnaround Tuesdays is an event that we're doing in Topeka that's very similar to North Carolina's Moral Mondays. What we're doing is each Tuesday we're breaking down the issues. There's no candidates stump speeching, no party lines being drawn, simply focusing on the issue to get voters informed. And tomorrow night, the topic is the Kansas environment. And we'll have the Kansas Rural Center. We'll have Paul Johnson speaking about sustainable farming issues. Rabbi Modi from Interfaith Power and Light will be there to speak. Gary Anderson from our local Topeka chapter of the Sierra Club will address some of their issues. And it should be a really good evening for people to get some facts about what's going on in our Kansas environment.
Well, I want you to know, first of all, you named off a real reputable group of people there. The rabbi and I are in the process of trying to do something inside Kansas City, Kansas, too. And I'm excited about meeting you because the environment is my cup of tea, and I like to know that people are doing what you're doing. I like the way you're going about doing it. I want you to understand that. I had Thomas Gordon. Thomas, will you introduce yourself there to Mary?
Good evening, Mary. My name is Thomas Gordon, and I'm with the Silver-Haired Legislators, so we kind of share some of the same focus as being an advocate for the people. Our focus is on the seniors who are age 60 and over that live in the state of Kansas. And I find this a very timely topic, especially in the times where that we're challenged by high cost of medical, the lack of proper funds to sustain some of the medical needs of the seniors. So I'm very much interested in it, and I hope to talk with you soon.
Yeah, and the reason that I had Thomas come in is because I just recently got recruited by them to be a part of that group. And my going in the door area was the environment, okay? And that's what I told him. I said I wanted to make sure that he was even seeing that that's not unusual. Other groups are doing that focusing in and concentrating on the environment and the things that we've done. But then at the same time, because I know this is Turnaround Tuesday is on the environment, but that's not all that you all do. And that's where I thought there was a connection that could be made between this Silverhead Legislature. Are you familiar with this Silverhead Legislature group?
I think I've met a few Silver Fox members.
Silver Fox.
it's kind of one of those groups that goes in and out of everything. So it's great to meet you, Tom.
Well, actually, Mary, is Silver-Haired Legislators. And what it is that they actually interact with the representatives and senators. And we take on issues. We're not partisan. We take on issues that affect the seniors, and such as what you're speaking of as well. And what we do at that point in time, we find something that's widespread and that will cover the entire state of Kansas. And once we identify what the issues are, we try to get to individuals who will bring these issues to our attention to find a resolution that we can legislate into law, so therefore they have guidelines and ways of enforcement so that we can continue our advocacy. So it's a little bit different than the Silver Fox.
Oh, the Silver Fox is a group, though?
I'm not familiar with the Silver Fox. Maybe Mary can expand upon that a little bit, what they actually do.
Well, I think they're just another advocacy group that speaks with the legislature on behalf of folks who are older generation, retirement age. About all of the issues. One of the things that we see with environmental issues and older folks is kind of the same issues that everyone is having, as far as having clean air to breathe and clean water to drink. But also here in Kansas, we have a real situation with access to fresh foods that's getting to be a problem.
Right. This is kind of to both of you, because I'm new to both groups, and I'm about to get involved with it. And so anything that I do, I like for my listeners to kind of walk in with me, and that way they can experience what I experience. Now, do you represent the entire state? So do you have people from Western Kansas just working with you in that way? Both of you, either one of you.
Oh, well, you know, I'll go first, and just to kind of give a little bit of a overview again, the Kansas Silver-Haired Legislature is what they call a unicormal legislature, which is composed of about 125 representatives, which are all over the age of 60. And what we do, as I said earlier, is that we help develop bills and resolutions based on the concerns and requests of seniors. And this is throughout the entire state of Kansas. And once we do that, we meet once a year, and we actually take a vote, and we take several of those resolutions or bills and put it into a form, and then we present it to the senators and the representatives. So we do represent the entire state of Kansas.
How about you, Mary?
Well, I'm working on trying to build the Green Party in Kansas, but I'm actually very local to Topeka. Turnaround Tuesdays was actually initiated by the Topeka Center for Peace and Justice and Central Congregational Church here locally.
Okay.
Okay.
This is an announcement to you too, but also for the, like I said, the other listeners. Two, maybe 3 weeks ago, I got elected as Kansas City, Kansas president for the NAACP. And I ran on an environmental ticket. So in many ways, I'm where you are, Mary, of trying to build this, like you said, the Green Party and stuff. I'm trying to build this, and that's why I'm interested in both of you guys' programs as far as being out there, so you have examples of what other people are doing. I don't know how much of the show you just heard, that listened to, but I make this plea to the American public or the citizens of Kansas City about the diesel emission that we're dealing with here because of the intermodals and the diesel fuel being a carcinogen and how little the public knows about that. And that's what makes what your group and what the Silverhead group is doing value as far as I'm concerned, because education is very important right now, and there's just not a lot of us that's educating the public, you know.
So that's true,
you know, and that's really needed. I have found that people pretty much want the public to make their decision based on what they hear pundits saying. That's all they have, and depending on which news channel they're listening to has a lot to do with what they're hearing. And with me working with the neighborhood groups, and we've got 144 neighborhoods and neighborhood groups in Wyandotte County. And when you talk to those neighborhood group leaders, what they want, these are good people. These are a working class population that is retired, they're at home. You know, it's not like you got a bunch of dummies sitting there that can't think. And they don't like being told what to do, okay? They want to be able to make an informed decision. So what they want to know is the facts. What am I dealing with? And then allow them to make their own decision. So I'm very supportive of any time I run into an organization that's doing what you two are doing. Do you have what's your numbers, Mary? I know you're getting started, but what are your numbers now? How many people are you working with?
Well, with Turnaround Tuesdays, there's various groups come in every week. I've been very active with the National Organization for Women for the past 2 years. And there's also, the Kansas Statewide Transgender Education Project has been very active with Turnaround Tuesdays. We had an LGBT issue a couple of weeks ago that had a good turnout. But I'm just personally, I'm an independent.
Okay, I'm feeling you now. So you kind of like
with everyone.
Yeah, so you kind of the for lack of a better word, the coordinator of these those events, and then other groups.
The amateur coordinator, sure.
Yeah.
Well, and my passion is also, you know, the environmental issues are at the top of my list personally.
Okay.
Because none of these other issues that we've been addressing all year, the women's issues, the death penalty issue, the education issues, none of that really is as important as the environmental issues. Because if we can't breathe the air and we can't have clean water to drink, there won't be any humans around to argue about educating the entire population.
I agree.
Or to argue about whether there should be marriage equality. No one's going to be equal if we can't have clean water to drink.
Let me throw out this number right quick again. We just got a few minutes here, but if anyone out there would want to address either one of these two people, maybe just give me a call. It's 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. Thomas, were you going to say something?
Yes. Mary, I want to say that, you know, sitting here listening with you and listening with the earlier speaker, Leticia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I see that the silver-haired legislators can do to be an advocate for everyone at the table is that we can help with the current laws that may be in place so that they can evolve with the needs of our people. Because when you have laws on the books that prevent evolution of the legislation in place, you know, that does not evolve with the changing times, with the bringing on of having mass transportation, which is going to bring about pollutions. You know, these are new areas, and sometimes the laws are antiquated to a point where that they no longer serve the needs of the people. And so when we have that education in place and we have groups such as the ones that are on this guest and other people that may be listening, when that's brought to our attention as the silver-haired legislators, even though that we're advocates for people over the age of 60, you know, God's will, one day the newborn baby will be age 60 and we'll need to advocate for him. So this affects all people and it's not just limited to a few. So if you have some needs that you find that legislation is a barrier, and some of the things that you're trying to achieve, you know, I'll be glad to give my email address and give a phone number where that you can contact me. And we can see how that we can work synergistically and work in tandem to bring the people in line with the government so that we can all live a nice, enjoyable life here in Kansas and on the planet Earth.
And anytime you're doing a green subject or any other subjects that affect the silver legislators, but anytime you're doing something that's green, keep in mind of contacting me and me and the position I'm in, and I'll gladly come up with the rabbi and add my 2 cents worth to it too, okay?
Excellent.
Yes, yeah, you do that. And anything that we can do from you on this end, don't hesitate. You got a direct contact with Mike now for sure. So anything that you think, if it's just a question, he turned someone on to me today to call me with a question. Just don't hesitate. Just contact us, okay?
Awesome. Mary, thank you.
Mary, this is Mike. I'm just wondering, can you tell people like exactly where people will be meeting tomorrow?
Yes, we'll be the Turnaround Tuesdays event is at the Kansas State House in Topeka on 10th Street, south side of the State House. We get started about 5:30, from 5:30 to 6. Everyone gives their information, and then from 6 to 7, we simply mingle.
Okay.
And get to know each other. And then after that, the Kansas Green Party Steering Committee is going over to El Centenario, which is a little restaurant here in Topeka at 13th and Kansas, to talk about how we can get a more formal party established for Kansas to get on the presidential ballot in 2016.
Oh, so you do have your hands full up there, don't you? You're an active lady.
Yes.
Yes, well, I wish you all the luck in the world. And
Thank you.
I'm glad to know that we have people like you out there that are still willing to put the, you know, I mean, all of us sitting in this room right now are that way. Each one of us is in an individual area that we have passion with. And I'm glad to know that we have someone like you up there. I think someone may be calling in. So hang on just a second. Is that a caller? Okay, we got a caller on the caller. You're on the line. Will you give me your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please?
Yeah, my name is John. I live in between Brookside and Waldo.
Okay,
Kansas City, Missouri.
Sir, what can we do for you, John?
Well, I was listening to your guest, Lakeisha, talking about the diesel exhaust problem, and which is it's really bad enough that we'd have to put up with that. But I was listening to people talking about the problem of the fracking, and they said one of the big problems for the local inhabitants is the increased truck traffic also caused a lot more wrecks, traffic accidents and injuries and traffic deaths because of all the trucks.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, John, and I don't know how much you've noticed it, but sometimes I'll be driving out I-70 there in Kansas City, Kansas, during the middle of the day, and it dawns on me that I am totally surrounded by trucks.
Yeah, right. It's bad enough already.
Totally. You'd be good. My God.
Yeah. And I think a truck is to a car is to a pedestrian.
Yes, 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 I agree. But it's an issue, and I'm glad you're on the phone, John, because these people who are sitting here and us and Leticia and I, it's all about educating the public.
Right.
Because that's who's missing out on this. I mean, you know, I mean, every time I talk about this diesel emission, I try to get people to just start noticing the truck traffic.
Right. Yeah. I think if you're going to launch an attack against these trucks, you need to point out all the downside.
Yes.
You know, the pollution, the danger from, you know, accidents, and they're going to tear up the roads, too.
Tearing up the roads.
Who's going to pay for that?
That's right.
Guess who? Yeah, we know who.
John, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Nice talking to you.
Keep listening out there, buddy. Okay, Mary, as you can see, we're going to call this to an end. We got to get ready to go, but people are listening, okay? People are listening, and I'm glad to know that you and Thomas and Leticia have taken on the responsibility of trying to keep the public informed. So let's stay in touch with each other, okay?
Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you for putting up with us. We'll see you now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, gang. Leticia, I'm going to let you have a final statement here and kind of give them a comment about your experience at being this citizen scientist. Where are you going from here, you know? I mean, I know you got a conference coming up here. That's pretty exciting. But kind of what do you see happening now out there?
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This is actually a really great experience. Last year in February, I would have never thought I'd be doing this. Like you said, it's all a learning process. Mm-hmm. And just starting by being a community member and just getting educated and helping others as well. But, yes, we are having a conference in November in New Orleans, and we will be educating more people about this, meeting with others with similar issues, you know, not just with air, but water, pollution, and so on. So it's going to be great. I'll be able to present there as well.
Okay. Thomas, give me about 30 seconds there, and then we're going to call this a day.
Okay, all right. Well, first of all, thank you, Richard, for having me on the show this evening. It's the first time on Kansas City Radio, and it's nice to meet you, Leticia. I just want to give some contact information on how if anyone wants to talk about any issues, you can email me at TGPSA1SHL@gmail.com. And my phone number direct to me is area code 816-506-3295. And let us know what the silver-haired legislators can assist you with. And we talk about issues. We don't talk about candidates. Thank you.
Okay.
And now here are some events. Well, of course, tomorrow evening at the State House Lawn in Topeka, turn around Tuesday at 5:30. That's at the Kansas Capitol in Topeka. This week, of course, as Mary just stated, it's on environmental issues in Kansas. Then on October 22nd, as we heard earlier in the show, the EPA has proposed a clean power plan to reduce the excessive emissions of carbon dioxide from power plants that disrupt our climate. Concurrently, Governor Nixon has initiated a development of a comprehensive energy plan that may assist Missouri in complying. Governor Nixon has appointed a steering committee which is holding 7 public meetings around Missouri. There is one in here in Kansas City at the Metropolitan Community College, Penn Valley Campus, Science and Technology Center, room 101. And that's on October 22nd, which is Wednesday. On October 23rd, After the Harvest is having their happy hour fundraiser, and that's at Grace and Holy Trinity's Founders Hall. And then also coming up, we have on Friday the 24th, the Kansas City, Kansas Community Gardens hosting Growing Under Lights, teaching folks how to grow vegetables under lights from seed at home. And that's a special workshop. And please call in advance because seating's limited, 816-931-3877 to register. And I think that about does it. We're going to go out now with Mickey Hart, number 4 for Gaia. Do stay tuned. Thank you.
for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Están escuchando KKFI 90.1 FM Kansas City, Radio de la Comunidad.